Special guest, Pastor Patrick Victor Outreach, is present here with us here this day. Amen. And I see some faces that have made their way back. Amen. Some new faces. So that's always, always a good thing to see and know that the Lord ain't finished and He's still working things out. Amen. Those viewing on Facebook, I just want to give you a heads up. The audio part may not be that good. Somebody accidentally, it was an accident, dropped the camera yesterday. We had a function here at the church. And so we tried everybody to try to just put an iPhone up there. But I don't think it was an accident. I think it's just that camera's been good to us for a lot of years. I just think it's the Lord taking us to another level. That it's about time to get a better camera. Amen? So I don't think it was an accident. It was just the Lord going, oops. Amen? So it was a good accident, a good problem, my pastor would say. But so those viewing on Facebook, I'm going to do my best to speak clear. I tested it in my office real quick right now. And you're able to hear me. It's just not with the clarity that you always get. It's coming through an iPhone right now. Amen? So I just wanted to let you all know that we have a lot of online viewers that watch from different states and so forth. So they're a part of the congregation. Amen. So with that also, I bring greetings from Amsterdam. Amen. My daughter Bianca's there. Amen. And let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. And she's being used in a mighty and powerful way there. In Amsterdam, amen, with some top-notch leaders that are leading her, a team that is working. I think she's KP. She runs the kitchen and does all these great things. They're really putting her to work. She's on the worship team, amen. They're on the Sunday services, on the keyboard and singing as well. So the Lord is just bringing out all the gifts that have all along been there. You know, He stirred her faith to have the faith to go. And now the gifts are being stirred, amen, and being matured right now. So let's give Bianca, my precious daughter, a clap offering this day. And I never saw that one coming. I never saw it coming, you know. So, and then we've had a lot of students that go to the UTC. And I believe she's going to be the first one. She just as yesterday gave us the news that she's going to stay another 6 months and do the year there. Amen. Yeah. So in that, grandma plays a very important role. You guys could guess what her role is. I ain't got that money. Amen. So I'm going to talk to grandma after the service. Amen. So anyhow, it gets expensive. It's no longer the price what it used to be. It's real expensive, but the deposit is pennies to what you are able to receive back and reap, amen, when we step out in faith, amen, and send the young adults, amen, to get trained in the things of the Lord to be effective young adults, amen, in this end time that we're living in right now. So we got a quick video. That the person that dropped the camera, quick video put together by the person that dropped the camera. I'm just going to say it. Amen. She's feeling really bad right now. So let's make her feel real bad just to get it out of her. Amen. And she won't be tripping all service. Amen. So as we shut the lights, kindly please. And as they play the quick video of my beautiful daughter. powerful, powerful. You know, the song goes, Lord, you amaze me, right? And it's so powerful when she calls from Amsterdam Weekly that I got to really go into scripture to have a conversation with her now. She's learning the word of the Lord, and she breaks it down when we speak and stuff. Then my little boy, Elias, was coming with it with the worship team today, and just 12 years old, and God's moving through the youth right now. They say that's a cuss word today, but the young adults, they want to be called the young adults, no longer youth. But and then we got a little Cedric on the drums, you know, 10, 11 years old. And so it's that promise is for your children as well, for your children as well. And I just stand amazed at what the Lord is doing in and through the life of Bianca right now. They have Pastor Sonny's there right now. She's cooking for Pastor Sonny, Sister Julie, and then talking to them. Pastor Kike from Panama is there right now, and she got to see him sing and talk to him and so forth. And the team from the LA church there with Pastor Ryan is all there right now. And all these other great speakers that are currently there right now. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, being on point. So she said she was playing the keyboard one day in the sanctuary, just playing, and somebody came and put their hands on her, and it was Sister Julie. That's our spiritual international mother, amen, the wife of Pastor Sonny Argazzoni, amen. So just really, really stand in awe of what God is able to do when one's in position. Even if things ain't going the way you would want them to be going here this morning, amen, I want to let you know that it's just not a cliche that the Lord is in control. The Lord is really, really in control. There's a statistic that says that 80 or 90% of the things we trip on never even happen. And we rack our brains, and we go crazy, and we fight and yell and get mad at people and walk out of church with an attitude. Amen. And because of the uncertainty and of the fears and of tomorrow and so forth, and how's this going to happen? How's this, the bills and the relationship of marriage on the line right now? And it's a heavy statistic. It's 85 or 90%. Of everything we trip in our mind that's going to happen, and we just don't know what we're going to do about it, you don't have to do nothing about it because it ain't going to happen. And that little short 10% that will take place, God's got it. God has it. And I believe a lot of times we allow that 85% of tripping out in fear to control our lives, to lead our lives. And we forget of the one that is in control, amen. And there's some things that he allows to take place to strengthen us, to call us, to bring us close to him. I know my worst days what brought me to Christ. It wasn't on a good day that I came to Christ. So he's able to do his best work when we're missing it, when we just can't see how it's going to fit or come together. Amen? So I want you to give yourself a pat on the shoulder. And even though some of my words didn't, you still say, no, Pastor, I'm tripping on something, man. I'm tripping, man. Pastor, I'm still tripping. Well, you can have a counseling session with me afterwards. Amen. And sometimes you have a reason to trip, but the majority of my counseling sessions, another 90% of my counseling sessions are like, really? You're tripping on that? But there was at one time when I first got saved, I was tripping on anything and everything. So I get it. I get it. And that's why it's so important that we got to grow in the things of the Lord. Amen. To not trip as much and to know that he is in control. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this morning. We've been on the book of Nehemiah for a couple of months now. The Lord's been speaking, and I haven't done it lately, but I'm going to recap on last Sunday to springboard into this Sunday service. Amen. We're going to cover a lot of scripture, but that's a good thing. It's a good thing to cover scripture. Amen. We're going to be starting where the walls have already been built. Amen. The gates. Amen. The people are coming together now. Amen. They're no longer a joke to the enemy. Amen. They're no longer halfway there. But the walls have been completed. Now their enemies are in fear, not just in the local area there in Jerusalem, but all through the nation. Scripture said, when they saw that the wall was complete, it sounds good to have an enemy that's in fear of you. Amen. But when the enemy is not in fear, amen, he's usually the one calling the shots, amen. But at this point now, the enemy's in fear. All the surrounding nations have heard, not even seen, but just simply have heard that the walls in Jerusalem have been rebuilt, amen, that the people were coming together, and they came to the conclusion that God was with them, the hand of God was with him. And I believe this morning we got to get to a place within our walk with the Lord that the Lord is with us. Because if that was not a fact, if that was not so, not a one of us would be here this morning, including your pastor. We wouldn't be here. But because his word is true, amen, we are here this morning, even if some have come in with big problems, situations that are taking place that are a God factor situation, situations that only God can bring to pass and bring in a mending of a heart or of a mind or whatever might be taking place, a financial matter that might be taking place right now. Things that make people trip out. Amen. So I want you to rest right now in faith in the presence of the Lord, and I want you to tune in to his word here this day, not your situation, but I want you to tune in to his word this day. So by the end of the message, you will come to a conclusion. He's going to give you a way out. He's going to give you an insight of what you need to do to that situation that you might be facing currently within your life right now. And this is not just for the new converts. This is for, I've been around 25 years. I need God more than I needed when I first got saved right now. Because I have a lot of responsibilities now. Because I always say the blessings of God call for responsibilities. And we have a beautiful sanctuary, property. And along with that, the city inspectors and everything are coming this week for the business in the school. They're coming Tuesday. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Them coming this time is a praise report. The last time they came wasn't a praise report. I was tripping. But the place looks much better now. It's up to code and everything. So God took care of it after I went half crazy. Amen. So here we get to the place where the people have come together, and Nehemiah's there, Ezra's there, and he's giving the word. The word of the Lord has been brought back to the temple, amen? They're having church, and they put a wooden pulpit up there, and Ezra would go and start reading out of the law of the book of Moses, amen? The law of Moses, and things would start taking place as he would start to speak, amen? So I want everybody listening here this day, we have a lot of ground to cover, amen, but it's important, amen? And if you don't know the word at all, I want you to listen, get something out of the word today, amen? You're not required to understand everything I'm going to be saying today, amen? Praise the Lord. As we go to the book, I'm going to, again, go back to last Sunday and recap a little bit to get into this Sunday. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 1. And the word of the Lord says that all the people assembled with a unified purpose. This is Jerusalem. 52 days before this, they were totally defeated. There was no walls, no gates. But now they're coming together. All of them, because they saw what was done with their hands still required the hand of God in order for it to get done. So now there's a praise report in Jerusalem. There's a momentum taking place in Jerusalem. And the word of God says that all the people assembled, as we are here this morning and on Facebook as well, with a unified purpose at the square just inside the Watergate. They asked Ezra the scribe to bring out the book that had been put away. I mean, a lot of times when we're being defeated and tripping out, we put the book away instead of bringing out the book. And the Bible says that they asked Ezra, the people wanted the word. The people, you got to want the word of God here this morning. It was the assembly that 52 days prior to this was defeated. Couldn't get nothing done. Had gotten used to Jerusalem and the walls of the ruin. They gotten used to it. And even though the temple was still open, the walls were in ruin. And here the people asked Ezra, amen, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel, keyword, to obey. How many wants the word here this morning? No, that was a little weak. It's not a trick question. How many want to hear the word of the Lord here this morning? Well, I want you to go beyond just hearing the word. That's good. It's going to stir your faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. But I want you to hear the word as I'm preaching this day, as if you're going to do it and obey it. Which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. The reason the walls were ruined, the gates were burned down, was a disobedience to the word of God. A disobedience to God himself is what got them in the situation they were in. And once again, the opportunity presented itself again. The word of the Lord was brought out, and Ezra would start reading it out loud, the Bible says. I'm always trying to get more polished in the way I preach and more quieter and more quieter, and to not hurt nobody's feelings, because we're living in troubled times right now, and nobody likes to be told what time it is. Second question, how many want to be told what time it is? It comes by the preaching of the gospel, amen? It comes by the preaching of the gospel. So here we open up where they assembled themselves, amen, with a unified purpose. They were one. They were back in position, all of them. They were excited. There was a momentum. And they told Ezra, man, bring out the word. Bring the word out. And Ezra says, you want it? I'll give it. And Ezra, we're going to find out, was long-winded, baby. He was long-winded. But he brought out the word of the Lord for them to obey it. Amen? I spoke last Sunday of three types of listeners. And the first one is too many hearing the word without understanding. So whenever there's not understanding to what you're reading, you will never be able to apply it. And the second type of listener, amen, is the one that hears the word and understands it. Never attending, amen, intending to apply it. There's some that come to church. There might be one here this day, or one viewing online, that as I preach, you're understanding what the word of the Lord is saying to your life. But a lot of times we come to church, hear the word, understand the word, never intending to apply it. If I was you, I would stay home and catch up on some sleep. Because the book of James tells us not be a hearer of the word, but a doer of it. Amen? Don't deceive yourselves. It's one thing to be deceived by the lies of the enemy, but to be deceived by the truth of the word of the Lord is another thing. And the third type of listener is that there's those that hear the word and start to apply it, knowing they need breakthrough within their life. Jerusalem knew what brought the walls down. It was a disobedience to the word of the Lord. It was a disobedience. And once again, the word was going forth loud. They were all together. Verse 9 says, as they were reading, verse 9 says, then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest, and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting, key word there, interpreting for the people, said to them, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this. For today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had all, they were all assembled together with one purpose. And it goes on that they were all weeping. As Ezra was giving the word. The word says that for the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. So they weren't just in one place assembled together in obedience and one purpose, but they were all broken as the message was being preached there. There was a brokenness. And I believe that the reading of God's word brings translation. Amen. They were there interpreting the word from the Hebrew to the Aramaic. Amen. So they were, for they would be able to understand the word, to be able to apply the word. But I believe the best translator is the person of the Holy Spirit. When we read God's word, he comes and interprets God's word that is very difficult in the beginning to understand. The person of the Holy Spirit is the best interpreter there is to your situation, to the word of the Lord, to break it down, what you need to hear today. It's one message, but it's reaching many people with different situations taking place within your life. And I believe I shared last night, but I believe that the reading of God's word brings translation by the person of the Holy Spirit. Question, does your life bring interpretation to God's word? Does your life, your walk with the Lord bring proof that what his word says is true? That it can change your life? Is your life an interpretation of God's word by what you do and not so much by what you say? Once again, in verse 9, they were all broken by the hearing of the word of the Lord as we get into this morning's service. Amen? And I'm going to pick up there in verse 9. I believe we all need to pay close attention if you really want that breakthrough in your personal life, in your marriage, your children, cousin, grandma, dad, mom, whoever it may be. You may not be the one that is in that situation, but it's somebody that's dear, that you love, and it's still messing with your mind, even though it's something personally that you ain't going through. So here in chapter 8 and verse 9 again, as Ezra was giving the word, there was a brokenness throughout the assembly. Amen? I believe they were all so grateful when they started hearing the word of the Lord. Instead of being convicted, they were grateful that the word of the Lord had returned back to them. There was a momentum taking place in their life, so they were unified. They were there with one purpose, to do whatever God wanted done. They were in victory now. But now they needed a strategy within the assembly, with Nehemiah, with Ezra. They needed a strategy on how not to return back to the disobedience of the word of the Lord. How many have ever had it going on in Jesus, and for whatever reason, someone stepped in on you in the race you were running good, and things took place that allowed a disobedience to the application of God's word from taking place in your life? And once again, you find yourself hearing the word of the Lord. There should be a gratefulness in your heart right now saying, thank you, Lord. The church accepts everybody back. We love everybody. Amen. And the number one thing that a backslider trips on is that everybody's going to talk about me. Not in this church. When you enter, everybody's going to hug you and say, good to have you. Hey, don't worry about it. Good to have you back. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Omar, can I share what you shared with me in the office or no? You know, sometimes we're ashamed of the things that we do when we're in disobedience to the word of the Lord. Omar's a handsome young man. He was in the rehab last year and doing great. And his homegirl came back. He had his little child, mom and dad, they were in church. And things were going good. The word of the Lord was transforming his life. But then he wanted to leave a little prematurely. I says, Omar, it's not going to work. I'm not hoping the worst for you, but I've been doing this for 25 years. It's not going to work. Just listen to me. Pastor, I'm going to be here for every service. I said, I've heard everybody say that. I'm going to be here, Pastor. No. I said, all right, you're going to be that 1% chance that's going to be here for every service. Well, he made a few services, and then all of a sudden his words, Omar. And he was always on Facebook putting this on Jesus. And no more Omar on Facebook. Amen. And through the grace and mercy of our loving Lord and Savior, as of 2 days ago, he's back with us again. And the Bible tells that it becomes 10 times worse when we go back out there. I mean, the first time was bad enough for me. I don't want to repeat that one. I don't know what would come out from 15 ODs. I don't know what's, 10 times worse. How many is that? 100 ODs? I don't know. Prison, 7 years in prison, all this that took place in my life. And he would want to speak to me because he looked different. And he tried to take his life when he was out there. See, this is stuff that's going to raise him up. And I said, you were so messed up, Omar, you couldn't even kill yourself. He took enough pills to take out an elephant. Amen? And somehow or another, it dropped him, but he woke up in the hospital. Amen? And he was humiliated because his younger brother was telling him what time it was. You know, that he was willing to die for his family, because he lived for his family. And as he was sharing this, I'm like, wow, man. How important it is to be obedient to God's word. Especially when there's a momentum in your life and God is doing great things in your life. Why would you want to walk away from that? Because there's an enemy. There's a deceiver. His name is Satan. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He might come through a smile, getting drunk, getting high, whatever, but his motive is to take you out. And God's grace and mercy, something Omar did not deserve, took place that day where the Lord resurrected him once again because he had a purpose for his life. And he would have to come back to the place where the Lord started the good work. We had a service here, a Sweet 16 here yesterday, and I was all nervous. I've never done a Sweet 16 before, right? I've done a lot of things, but I've never done a Sweet 16, amen? And I was in my office that gives a view to everybody walking in, amen? And Omar, stand up here, Omar. Come on, man. We're putting that devil on blast right now. Shame the devil. Come on. A couple of days ago, this took place. God's grace and mercy is so powerful. I was sitting in my office, and I had all the ushers out there. We had the best and everything. And I said, how did Omar slip into one of the ushers out there? And to myself, I was thinking, if they only knew.
Yes, sir.
He was there with all his heart, opening the door, letting everybody come in, being real polite, real nice to everybody. Like he never got a knot on his head, like he never slipped. God's grace and mercy. Yeah. Am I putting him on blast? I sure am. Because I want him to get it this time. I want to let him know that he is a good person. That he does have victory. And that the Lord is married to the backslider. He's no longer a backslider. He's in Christ. You may have a seat, son. I owe you $5, man. What's taking place in your life right now that you're ashamed of? That you're tripping on? Thinking that the grace and mercy and the power of the Lord cannot change it, as if he's limited or something. The one that is limited in power is the enemy here this day. The Lord made a spectacle out of him at the cross. When he thought he had the victory, he was deceived. The deceiver himself was deceived. He couldn't see how God would come with the plan of death to bring victory to your life and my life. And still the Lord's still doing the same thing 2,000 years later, calling the man, the woman to pick up his cross, to die to self, to deny self, and to follow him, and to die. And to die. And too many times we get to a place where God's word, what God says, doesn't matter. Title of the message, please. Title of the message, I'm going to give you to three. One, two, three. Was it given? It's not working. It's from the knot on the head that camera got. All right, I'll give you 1 second. The person that feels better now is really getting delivered right now. Praise the Lord. But as I was in my office and he was in my view, in my scope, he had an ear-to-ear Colgate smile, wearing a suit, and I said, look at God. And he don't know it, but I was so broken in my office, because when I see something, I see it to its worst. But then the opposite, I see things to its best of what he can be and to the worst of what he can be. And I will say the Lord is the Alpha and the Omega. Anywhere you're at today, somewhere in the middle of that. Amen? But as I saw him, I said that could have been very easily another funeral. And there he was in a suit days later, ushering at the door. Only at Victory Outreach are you going to find that. Amen? Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Sometimes we take for granted what the Lord does, the miracles he does. I OD'd 15 times and here I am, 25 years later. And I've never forgotten what the Lord's done for me, so I know what God says matters. So if what God says matters, we got to learn what God says in order for it to matter and be applied within our life. What God says matters. And too many times we think what she or he or the boss or what we think matters more than what God says. What God says matters. You got to get a word. You got to bring out the Bible. The people call for Ezra to bring out the book. And when he did, the Bible tells us that the whole assembly was broken there in verse 9 of chapter 8. I put here in my notes, the reading of God's word along with the interpretation, which is understanding, and obedience, broke them all. Well, it was the first word they had. How do you know that they were in obedience, Pastor? I'm going to prove to you that they were in obedience, that they were hearing the God, intending to apply it. Not intending to go back or stay at the same place, but to go forward with the momentum that God, the hand of God, had brought to them through the life of Nehemiah. My first point is obedience to God's word will break you beyond tears. Obedience to God's word will break you beyond tears unto transformation. And the problem of today is too many crying without change. Too many crying without change. If you're going to cry, you might as well make it count. How many have ever cried? I'm talking to the men also. When you were tripping out. I mean, what you were going through was so bad that tears started rolling out of your mucho macho eyes. They were all broken, the whole assembly, as Ezra was reading the word aloud. They were all broken. And I believe the brokenness that was there that day is because God was able to see in their hearts that they were intending to apply the word that Ezra was given on that day, on that beautiful Sunday as it's taking place right now. Are you listening to what I say, intending to put it into practice? Is your lifestyle bringing interpretation to the sinner, to the lost and the bound? The way you carry yourself. Once again, without a word being said, is your lifestyle the way you're living when you leave church? Who you are before your wife, your husband, your children, the boss, the neighbor, the homies, the homegirls? Is your lifestyle an interpretation of God's word? Is your lifestyle an obedience unto the word of the Lord here this day? And if it's not, it's okay. The Lord is bringing an opportunity as he was bringing to Jerusalem on that day on October. God's grace and mercy once again is speaking into your heart, into your situation, in whatever's taking place, the call of God upon your life. Is your lifestyle bringing interpretation to the sinner, the lost, and the bound? Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, the Bible reads, on October the 31st, dates are important, amen? On October the 31st, the people assembled again, amen? On October the 31st, the people assembled again, and this time, amen? In other words, something took place, amen? In October, on this date, from October the 8th, roughly 23 days had gone by. They had heard the word. They all went home. And they all showed up again. Amen? On October the 31st. But the Bible records the people assembled again. And this time, they fasted and dressed in burlap and sprinkled dust on their heads. Verse 2, please. Those of Israelite descent separated themselves this time. Separated themselves from all foreigners as they confessed their own sins and the sins of their ancestors. Verse 3, please. I want you to get this one. I might ask you guys to stand. I'm going to let you sit. They remained standing in place for 3 hours. There was a flow taking place. There was a momentum taking place. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Stand then. I'm just joking. Are you going to apply God's word? I know 3 hours might seem like a long time to stand here in a message, but I used to stand for 3-4 days on a street corner, lost and bound, bragging how many days I'd been up. Pastor, I got to eat. I take medication. I got to get rested before work tomorrow. And I'm a law-abiding citizen now, Pastor. Come on. Keep it at the 1 hour. I'm trying, but I'm trying to keep it biblical. Pastor, that was the Old Testament. I think the Lord's requiring me more now. The New Testament sounds good, but to me it's the end time testament. Twenty-three days had gone by. They all come back to church. And the Bible records that this time they remain standing in place. They don't end after 3 hours, guys. I love long-winded servants. I'm one. I've been one for 25 years. Long-winded. I can be all bummed out and still be long-winded. Some of you get bummed out, all you want to do is go to sleep. You ain't got no problem sleeping for 3 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours. Okay, let's get back to nice. They remained standing in place for 3 hours while the book of the law of the Lord, their God, was read aloud to them. Then for 3 more hours, tell your neighbors, 3 more hours. Wake up, tell your neighbor. Boy, it's a good word today, good word. For those that used to get high. Now we get high on the Most High, amen? We should be able to double up the 3-4 days. We should be able to stay up for a week now and be blessed, not cursed. Then for 3 more hours, they confessed their sins and worshiped up the Lord their God. There's something about spending time with Christ. In the beginning, in the world, we snuck out the window, mom and dad's. The window, we had it all planned out, mapped out. We got back, you know, before, you know, they looked in the room or before the sun came up. And we had little strategies and we spent a little time. But then the enemy started requiring more time. And before you know it, it was a 24/7 thing taking place within our life. And the more time we spent serving the enemy, the more we would bow down and worship him, the more. See, if you would have just snuck out on a Friday night and never did it again, you would have never worshiped the enemy. I gave my life to the enemy over and over and over for many years. And the only way that was able to take place is because I gave him my time. Eventually, I gave him all my finances. Eventually, I gave him my life. Even though I knew he came to kill, steal, and destroy. Even though I knew what I was doing was wrong, illegal, and I was headed back to prison again, I worshiped the enemy because I was in bondage. Mom and dad's tears, my brothers, sisters, not even the prison system could break me of the bondage that was upon my life by spending time with the enemy. My question this day is, what type of time are you spending with the Lord? Your difficulty in maybe worshiping the Lord and lifting your hands and knowing what His Word says is maybe based on not spending no time or not enough time with the Lord. So here we come to find out that they heard the word for 3 hours stand, and then another 3 hours, they confessed of their sins. Amen? I believe that Ezra read the people on that day. This is how I know they were in obedience on that first day. I put here, I believe as Ezra read to the people on that day. And that was the opening verse where they all assembled in a unified purpose. Amen. I believe as Ezra read to the people on that day, one of the subjects that he spoke on was fasting. It doesn't say in the word. It doesn't say in there. But my revelation as I studied, given to by the Lord, I believe as Ezra was giving the word for them 3 hours in there, I believe one of the subjects, 3 hours is a long time, he covered a lot of subjects. I believe that one of the subjects he covered was on fasting. And I really believe that's why when they came back in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1, amen, 23 days had gone by from the word being given. And now on October the 31st, the people assembled again. And this time they fasted. And this time they fasted and dressed up in burlap and sprinkled dust on their heads. And this time they separated themselves. Verse 2 says, are different things taking place within your life every time you come to church? You're trying something else that the Lord said, something else that the Lord said. Or is this time the same thing as last time and last time and last time and last time? Is this time that you're hearing the word, is something changing in your life to say this time is no longer here? So I'm going to apply what the word of the Lord is saying this time, this Sunday, to my life, for I can apply it and get the victory in my life. Many times people keep tripping on the same thing because they stay on the same time, the same page, and they don't bring they don't apply God's word. You find years going by and new converts are passing you up and you got a problem with it. Because they're on fire and you fizzed out. This time they fasted. They separated themselves from all foreigners. Who do you need to separate from here this day? Because the word got them to fast. And then they knew in order for the fast to really work, I believe Ezra broke it down. They knew they had to separate themselves from certain people, from certain foreigners. I believe one of the main problems a man or a woman, a young adult, never gets the victory in Christ is not because of the word. Amen. But because you're hanging out still with people. Many, many guys do it. Many young adults do it because they think they're strong enough to do it. Because now they haven't touched drugs in, 2 weeks. So they think they can go to the bar because they're not going to drink. I'm the driver that goes back?
Designated driver.
Pastor, I'm just a designated driver. Be quiet. Pastor Philip Chris Sr. would say, shut up. But I don't use the word shut up. You hang out with people that are doping, that are drinking, or big-time business people that have nothing to do with Christ. But there's an influence they have on your life. Some of you think, I counseled a man the other day, he knows I'm talking about him right now, but I'm not going to say his name. Back in the day, I would say his first, middle name, and last name. We know it's a him. That's all you're going to get. I'll give you the person for $5 if I can pay Omar off for allowing me to use his testimony of the resurrection power of Christ, even when we're on the wrong path. The love of the Lord. What people do you got to cut out of your life? Because the word of the Lord is here. To deliver here this day, to grow this church, to bring a light to this darkened city, the region, the international move of God all around the world that my daughter's a part of, and all the way in Amsterdam. It was a time Bianca never came out of her room for months. I was so worried. My office where I prayed for hours was right next to her room. Man, I went all the way back to the sign of the cross and everything. My daughter. I couldn't get her. Everything I said, oh, Dad. It was like, miss me with that. Grew up in the church, grew up in the things of God. But she was trained and reared in the things of God. Proverbs 22:6. Things were bad. I didn't know if she was alive or dead in that room for months and months and months and months. But the Lord was slowly and surely corning her, saying, Is this your life? Is this what you want from your life? Are you going to humble yourself and listen to mom and dad and of the plan of God that is upon your life? And my wife strategically, she at the last second wanted to go to the women's conference, which equals money. I go, she wants to go where? She wants to go to the women's conference. I go, where are you going to get the money? She goes, we're going to get the money. We're going to get the money. She wants to go. And she would go in 5 minutes of fire. A sister from Holland was given the word. I got her picture in my office where I pray now. White looking girl, blue eyed white girl. A pastor's daughter was given the word in 5 minutes. God rocked my daughter's life. Where she would hit my wife and say, I want to go to the training center. Training center? I was like, what's that? That's for everybody else but you, my daughter. Training center? What are you going to do there? What? I was believing more for your children than my child. And there she is now, 6 months, and being used in a mighty, powerful way. Told me yesterday, Dad, I could come home, but I God's telling me I got to stay. And I said, well, I knew that was the answer, but I didn't want to. It had to come from you, love. What are you going to do this time? And I really don't get it when somebody gets moved in the service. I said, Pastor, great word. Pastor, you were speaking just, Pastor, thank you so much. Can I give you a hug yet? And they go, and this time doesn't do nothing the next time they come. And they stay on the same page. They hear the word. It stirs them. It moves their heart, their situation. It gives answers. It brings the light before their feet. And they know what they got to do, and they go back to the rut of the same old, same old. Come next Sunday, and it's still this time. 5 years ago, this time, 10 years ago. Nothing is changing. Because you're not applying God's word, you're just hearing it. When I got high, I got high. When I came to church, I got high on the Most High. I would study, I would pray. Because this is what the Christian's supposed to do. It's funny that anybody that's a drug addict is a drug addict. But everybody that is a Christian is not a Christian. Ooh, you got to write that one down. That's a quote for the month right there. It's funny that we can, in the world, the past life, we could be drug addicts, alcoholics, and everybody becomes that drug addict. Everybody's an alcoholic. But you come to church, you get saved, you become a Christian, but not everybody's a Christian. They're like functioning Christians, like a functioning alcoholic. Oh, it's getting deep. It's getting good. My pastor would say it gets gooder and gooder. A functioning Christian, you have just enough to make it to church, sing a few songs. I get excited when my little boy's singing up here. I'm like, I'm being cool, but I'm waiting for an angel to fly up in the place. Because I know it's coming from an innocent life, a young, innocent life. I know it's pure. There's no alternative motives there. There's some people you need to cut loose in order to be able to apply God's word. And the Bible says they, in verse 3, that they remain standing for 3 hours hearing the word, then another more 3 hours. That brought them to a place to confess their sins for 3 hours. My two ending points. Hearing God's word brought brokenness. Applying God's word through fasting brought confession. As the worship team kindly please make their way up. I believe a lot of times we don't confess of our sins. You don't need a priest. We got the high priest called Jesus. You can get with him all by yourself. You don't have to pay a dollar. You don't have to tell nobody, though it's good if you need to confess your sin to others. Every morning when I start praying, I'm broken because I know the filthy junkie I was when God saved me. And I know what he's done in my life. And the job I have now today as a shepherd is mind-blowing. It was as mind-blowing as me sitting in my office yesterday looking at Amar, smiling and breathing when the lights had been turned off a few days before that. He's a bad, not only is he was so messed up he couldn't kill himself, he's a bad writer also. Ask me why he's a bad writer. I told his dad, forgive me, man, but I'm leaving this world, I'm going to heaven. He says, and I knew I wasn't going to heaven, Pastor. He's a bad writer. The book ain't over. It ain't ended. It's the book of Acts. God's still writing the chapters of his life through grace and mercy. He left the farewell letter there before he took all the pills. That letter's in the trash. And he's here agreeing with me right now. If I would have pulled somebody like I did him today, you would have probably walked out the church. But he knows he shouldn't be breathing right now. Parents should be calling me, setting a date for the funeral. But as the song said today, he came running out of that grave. Amen. Another opportunity to hear God's word. Another opportunity to apply God's word. Another opportunity to become what God wants him to be. And that's for all his children. Whether you've been serving the Lord 20, 30 years, just started last week. We serve a good Father, compassionate Father, the Bible says. Of grace and mercy. That Son understands what we go through firsthand. Jesus understands what rejection is firsthand by those closest to him. Not just Judas, but Peter and beloved. Everybody left them. When he died at the cross, they couldn't hang out for 3 days to see if what he said mattered to their life. What Jesus has spoken this day, does it matter to your life? I know the Lord is speaking right now. I know my capacity. I know what I'm capable of doing. And it's not I that's speaking to your situation right now. It's coming straight from the throne of God. I'm just his vessel. No longer one of dishonor, but a vessel of honor now. That God can speak through, pour through his word. That matters. And I believe there's a lot of things that matter to your life right now. And I just want to simplify all these things that matter to your life. There's just one thing right now that needs to matter. And that is what God says. Needs to matter. I'm here for you after the service. If you want what translation of the Bible, I'll fit you with the best translation. I'll get you into a reading plan. I'll get you into a praying plan to start spending time with Jesus, so you can get addicted in Jesus, so you can start worshiping Jesus, so you can start understanding the purpose of Jesus for your life, why you're here this day. We need to know that we shouldn't be here this day, that this ain't your plan or my plan. This is a plan of the Father, why we're here this day. It's not just for Amar, it's for all of us. We have a purpose, that's why we're here this day. We have a city that needs to be saved by what God says matters. We have a region that needs to be saved by what God says matters. We have a world that God, the Son of the Lord, died for, amen, for the salvation of the lost and bound. He died for the sins of the world, because his word matters. And the carrier of his word, the interpreter of his word, was his son Jesus on the cross. Was the best interpretation, though he wasn't breathing any long, though he was nailed to the cross, the best interpretation ever took place on the cross of Calvary. And even though he was dead, the best interpretation of the love of Christ for your life and my life, and how far he was willing to go, because he knew what the Father said mattered. The person of the Holy Spirit is here right now. He's looking for a man, a woman that don't deserve it to be baptized right now in fire. In fire. Not water. We got a thing of water baptism next week. Amen. But the Lord's looking for somebody to baptize in fire. Somebody to appoint, to anoint, to empower right now. To be able to carry his word, because his word matters. It matters. It matters. What Jesus says matters. Book got brought out. I've done my best this morning in bringing out the book, bringing out the word, using the example of what God is able to do, even if you don't deserve it. I just got another new revelation. That was my tie. Sometimes I give the rehab guys a lot of, once in a while, this is one of my ties. Boy, you ain't going nowhere. You tied up in Jesus. Don't ever take that knot off. I didn't. I don't know how to do a tie knot, so I leave them on there. The only time I got to have a knot made for me is when I get a new one. As we stand this day, I'm excited. God has spoken to bring anybody out of any tomb. The hearing of the word brought brokenness. But the application of the word through fasting brought confession that I'm a sinner and that I need Jesus. I was wrong. It wasn't her fault, his fault. I was wrong, God. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. I'm going to open up the altars right now. I'm going to open up the altars right now. For those that are in obedience, for those that are doing good, you still need to make the altar call. It's time to surrender our will for his will. It's time to surrender. It don't matter who you were, what you've done. Israel did it over and over and over. A disobedience to what God said, as if it didn't matter. Oh, some of you just need to close your eyes. It doesn't matter if you're broken. It doesn't matter if this time you want to bring God's word into obedience, where you want to just start confessing from your heart. You don't have to be audible. God knows the language of the heart. Just from your heart, just start naming them. Start naming them. We partook of the Lord's body here this morning. We had
the communion
Lord
this day.
Oh,
Shatayara Bakotarabasia. Oh, he's looking into hearts right now. He's looking into hearts right now. He's looking to see who's going to put his word to practice. He's looking to see within your heart if what he has spoken this morning through my life matters or not.
I surrender.
It's time to surrender all.